الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. My very dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Islamically, the great occasion of Eid al-Ghadir is to be celebrated for 3 days. And although the actual day was on Thursday, but still we are on the celebration of Eid al-Ghadir. So Thursday, Friday, and today that is just finished Saturday, all the 3 days belong to the great and the greatest Eid in Islam, and that is Eid al-Ghadir, Eidullah al-Akbar. For this reason, I would like to congratulate all brothers and sisters on this auspicious occasion, and inshallah, together we convey our sincere congratulations to our present Imam, Imam al-Hujja, ajalallahu ta'ala, farajahu sharif. Just keep in mind that inshallah, at the end of this session, I don't know if you have done it already or not. Even if you did, some of you, it's okay always to renew it. We are going to have a contract of fraternity and brotherhood, brothers between themselves, and inshallah sisters between themselves. And I'm going to inshallah announce it at the end of this session. Now, thank you very much to Brother Said for the brief introduction. As we had mentioned before, and you might have received the email, this series of talks that inshallah we are going to have, and tonight is the second session for it, we are talking about some aspects of life after death and the significance of that, and why is it that it is so essential. Just to quickly recap, I mentioned last week that the bulk of the ayat of the Quran are dealing with the issue of life after death. When you compare the information that the Almighty God in the Quran has shared with us with reference to life after death, an issue that even the science of the modern science has almost nothing to offer about it, you really appreciate the revelation, the scripture, this Holy Quran that is available to us. And something that other scriptures, they don't have it. Now, what I want to mention in continuation of the discussion of last week is that I don't know about America, I suppose in the States it's also the same, but in Australia we have a very famous expression that they say that two things are inevitable. Yani you cannot avoid it. Under no circumstances, supposedly, you can not avoid it. One is tax, and the second is death. Now, if you've got a good accountant that you can somehow get around it and avoid tax to the government, there is no doubt that death is inevitable. No one can deny that he's going to die one day. And I mentioned last week, and I want to again re-emphasize, that the style of the Quran, even to prove the existence and the unity of God, is by talking about life after death. Because the most atheist person that supposedly he claims that there is no God and denies the existence of God, if he is of a sound mind, he cannot deny that he is perishable. He cannot deny that he is going to die one day. And that's the best point of a start, to start a conversation with them, a sound conversation, to turn and on and tell them, look, my friend, do you have any doubt that you are going to die one day? Of course not. Now, do you know what is after that? He may turn and on and say that, well, apparently nothing. Say, well, apparently nothing. How do you know? What if there is something? That was the type of a conversation that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam had with one of the atheists, very famous atheists of his time, Ibn Abi al-Awja, that when he saw Imam Sadiq doing the tawaf around the Kaaba, the holy Kaaba, and when the Imam went to pray somewhere, he said, for how long, like a horse, you want to just walk around this cube-shaped building? And the Imam says, look, you know what? Both of us, we are going to die one day. The thing is that after our death, either there is going to be life after death, either there is going to be hell and heaven, 124,000 prophets have not lied, then you will be in big trouble. Or there isn't. We have come here and we made a trip and we did some exercise. So as we say, it's always safe, better safe than sorry. If there is hell and heaven and the day of reckoning, I will be safe, I will be in a safe position, and you will be perished. And if there isn't, I haven't lost anything. So the common sense dictates always do something, it's safer. Anyway, the point is that Quran also refers to that as al-waqa'a. I mentioned that if there is one event in the entire universe that there is no doubt about it, that is going to take place, is the issue of death. And Quran says that because as you die, certainly upon your death, your resurrection will be also on as well. مَنْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُ Whoever dies, his day or her day of resurrection will be upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran refers to the issue of death with the term al-yaqeen. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ Worship your Lord, worship your cherisher until you until certainty comes to you. All Mufassirin have said that al-yaqeen, certainty literally, here it's an expression for death, meaning that keep worshipping your Lord until you die, until your death. Why Quran, instead of saying hatta ya'tiyaka al-maut, doesn't say hatta ya'tiyaka al-maut, says hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, until certainty comes to you, to kill two birds, like we'll say with one word, to tell us that it's death, and also has this characteristic that it is certainty. It comes with certainty, without any doubt. That's why no one whosoever on earth has got this paper that is called PR or permanent residency. Let me mention something to you that some years ago, a shadow minister in Australia, the system that we have a minister of the current government, and the opposition also has a minister that they refer to as a shadow minister. This shadow minister is pending minister subject to whether his party wins to become a real minister or not. So a shadow minister came to my office visiting me, and after a while there was an election, and I knew that this party is going to win the election. A few days before the election, I went to his office to pay him a visit back with one of my friends. And I said to him, there was a discussion that this guy is going to be the minister for citizenship and immigration and things like that. I went to his office to pay him a visit back, and I said to him that without taking much of your time, I just wanted to share a piece of advice with you, and thank you very much for your hospitality. And that is, just remember that tomorrow, hopefully, I believe that your party is going to win the election and you become the minister for citizenship and immigration. But keep this in mind, that even you yourself, you don't have your PR, Australian PR, you don't have permanent residency, let alone being a citizen. So there is no such truth that once you have your green card, you are a permanent resident in the United States of America. There is no such thing ever existing. This is the biggest lie we are ever told. He looked at me weird and said, what are you talking about? I said, what I mean here is that you, me, all of us, we are on a temporary visa, all of us. All of us. No matter how old or young you are, no matter whether you are American or you are Asian, whether you are from the Middle East, from the Far East, no matter where you are coming from, we are all on a temporary visa. Because we are all on this melting pot of dunya and we are all going to die. So no one has got permanent residency, let alone being the citizen of this planet Earth. Well, you know, I took the direction of the discussion a different way, and the definition of the permanent residency, citizenship is different. But I wanted to take some moral, you know, benefit from that discussion. So there is absolutely no doubt that we are all on a temporary visa for this dunya. And there are some differences that inshallah throughout my discussion I'm going to bring this topic again and take advantage of it with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Alright, because we are on a temporary visa and this visa is going to expire sooner or later, and unfortunately we don't know when, that's the scary part of it. In Islam, a great emphasis is given in the Quran and in the words of Ma'sumin alayhimu salam to constantly be conscious of your death. Constantly remind yourselves, we should remind ourselves of the issue of death. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that about the significance of a dhikr and remembrance of God, he says that the best way to remember God is to remember your death, because that naturally reminds you of life after death. Normally, in the community of the believers, I've observed, and I'm sure you've observed this as well. Now, among us, the elderly people, those who have hit their 50s and above, normally we are more concerned and conscious about our death. Why is that? Is it that you have to be only in your 70s, 80s, 60s to die? No, because we have seen people around us, most of them, if they live a normal, natural, so-called natural life, once they hit 70 and above, they need to be prepared that, all right, I'm towards the end of it. Otherwise, even a child may die earlier than his grandfather. So, because we really acknowledge, yes, that's true, I'm really about to depart, it makes me more conscious about it and more concerned about it, that what next? What, for God's sake, next? So, not to talk about this and avoid it and say that, look, I'm not prepared to die, I don't want to talk about it, is not going to change the reality. The reality is that if I'm not prepared for death, death is definitely prepared for me. And the angel of death is after me every day. There is a very famous poem in Farsi that says that whether you breathe or not, you are going to go towards death. Because your breath is like a sword that you are cutting the tree with. Your breath is like a sword that is cutting the trunk of the tree of your life. Gradually, as I'm breathing, inhale and outhale, I'm already cutting, as I'm talking to you, I'm cutting the tree of my life. Respectfully, as you are sitting here, you are also cutting the tree of your life, willy-nilly, whether we like it or not. And if I don't breathe, I say that, look, I don't want to use this saw, I don't want to cut the tree of life, then there is a shortcut. I'm going to die even quicker. So either way, I can avoid it, whether I breathe or I don't breathe. That's why in Islam, the best reflection, if you really want to spend the time, and you all know this hadith, that an hour of thinking and reflection in Islam is worse than 70 years of worshipping without reflection. 1 hour is worth more than 70 years. But on the condition that 1 hour is the 1 hour of thinking about what? Not to plan to change my worldly lifestyle. Not to plan, well, how can I finance a better car? How can I finance a better house? How can I improve my livelihood and so forth? Or planning for my business or things. No. 1 hour of thinking, the Prophet says, first and foremost, 1 hour of thinking about your death. And what have you planned for it? Are you prepared for it? And things related to that. The Prophet says that if somebody is after admonition, mu'izah, advice, that says that, look, I really need someone to give me a good piece of advice, the Prophet says that the issue of death is the best admonition. Attend the Majlis of Memorial, and you get the best advice, because this guy is also like you. As he died, you're going to one day die as well. Alright? The Prophet says that if somebody wants to detach himself or herself from the life of dunya, if you think that you're the type of person that is so much caught in this culture of consumerism, of spending, and is bombarded by these companies that they're only after selling their products, and every day you want to change the decoration of your house, the clothing that you wear, the type of the car that you drive, and so forth, and you're sick and tired of that, again the Prophet says that think of your death. That this clothing that you're gonna buy, you may not be able to ever wear it. This car, this house, you may not ever be able to use them. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. May I ask you a question? If somebody can quickly give me an answer for that. Who is the youngest person in our gathering? How young is he or she? Can anyone tell me quick?
Year and a half.
Now, I tell you one thing, with all respect, and may God protect this baby, inshallah, for his or her parent, inshallah, have a long life. But the reality is that that baby is so lucky to have lived 1.5 years. Have you ever been to any cemetery nearby your area? I really suggest you to do this. The boys, the girls, teenagers especially, make sure you take them, or they should go themselves time to time for an excursion. Huh? Excursion that the school, they take our kids to look at, you know, see this museum, see that, place or so. We should arrange a facility to take them time to time to a cemetery. Take them to that memorial gardens that you have, or especially if you have an Islamic cemetery, killing two birds with one stone. What I have done, I've taken actually my children and my students to the cemetery, Muslim cemetery, and I told them that go around and come back with the date of the birth and or with the age of the youngest deceased and the oldest deceased. Let me know the youngest deceased in this cemetery, how old or how much did he live in this dunya, and the oldest one as well. You know who was the youngest one? We call it in medicine stillborn. Stillborn is a baby that just as born dead. So this baby that we have in our gathering, thinking that he's the youngest and really has not lived long at all in this dunya, already compared with that stillborn and so many stillborn babies, God has blessed him and his parents so much to have lived more than a year. And the oldest one, 70, 80 years, 90, whatever. This is how the issue of death concerns and should concern all of us. Don't ever think that this is an issue that is related for the elderly people. No. As I said, still we have in that cemetery, we have stillborn babies. So my friend, if you are 10 years old, 15 years old, 20, no matter how old you are, this issue concerns you. This issue definitely concerns you. That's all. From the time of consent, from the age of consent, meaning like for girls 9 and above, boys 15 and above, that we are accountable for what we do, Islamically it is recommended to keep your final will under your pillow. As an expression, it's a figure of speech. Not that necessarily you have to keep it under your pillow. This is a figure of speech to tell us you gotta be ready for your death anytime. So that if anything happens while I'm sleeping in my bed, they can easily get my final will, my wasiyah, and act upon it. And I tell you one thing, if you have not, how many of you here in this gathering, let's make it very practical, inshallah, tonight. How many of us, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, that's a question, I just leave it in the air, and I like everybody who is really interested in this topic and interested in making a change in their lifestyle to find an answer for it later on. Go back home tonight and ask yourself this question, that where is my will? Where is my wasiyah? Do I have any? Islamically, it is very recommended to have this. And ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah recommending all of us that as a believing person, as a mu'min, you're supposed to have your final will ready. Why? And put it in an envelope with a sticker tape or something, and I've done this. It's not just when we want to go to Hajj that I have to prepare my, my will. Keep your wasiyah with you, and time to time. Now I think that my wasiyah, my will is a couple of years old. Let me just go and update it. You open an envelope, you take the, you know, your will out, and you read it. Believe me, sometimes, unconsciously, you see that as you are reading it, you are in tears. It really gets to you. You know why? Because I was not supposed to be the one who opens this envelope. Thanks to God who gave me blessing to be able to open it, to read it, to update it. Thanks to God, 2 years ago, I had like, for example, 10 years of missed and dabs prayers. Now, by the grace of God, it's become 8 or 7 or 6, less. Inshallah, Ya Rab, give me the tawfiq to make it to zero, to pay off all my debts to you. That's how a believer is expected to live their life. Please, if you get a chance, read Nahjul Balagha sometimes in your leisure time. Almost impossible to find any sermon in Nahjul Balagha that Imam Ali alayhi salam does not somehow refer to the issue of death in his sermons. Almost impossible. Notwithstanding that some of the sermons of Nahjul Balagha are dedicated to this issue. Long sermons, inshallah, in the future we bring some parts of it, and you see that some of the interpreters of Nahjul Balagha, like Ibn Abil Hadid, he says, for the last 50 years of my life I've been reading this sermon, and every time I read it, and he says, I swear to God that I've read this sermon over 1,000 times so far in my lifetime, and every time I feel I have a goosebump when I read this sermon. That's how much is touching me. So why is it that Imam Ali Nahjul Balagha is mentioning the issue of death time and again and repeatedly? That shows the significance of the topic. And that's why if us, and let me mention something about myself, if I'm running lectures and I'm talking on various topics but never touch on the issue of death and life after death, I'm not following the footstep of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, because he was Imam al-Khutaba, he was the best lecturer ever existed in the world. All the speakers, all the public speakers, they should look at him as a role model. Our role model frequently and constantly has been talking about the issue of death. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the benefits of thinking, talking, and remembering our death, brothers and sisters, is to prepare ourselves, of course, for it, for the sake of preparation, not to be depressed. I'm sure it's the same in the States, but in Australia and many other places, when you rent a place, all right, you sign a contract, the lease contract, the time that you want to vacate the house, usually the real estate or the landlord gives us a bit of time. Like usually it's 3 weeks in Australia. They call it notice of vacancy. If you want to vacate this dwelling, this house, this building, you give us a 3 weeks notice in advance. We call it notice of vacancy. You have it over there, don't you? Alhamdulillah. So we are on the same track. We know what you're talking about. Now, I tell you that vacating a dwelling in this dunya, there is a notice of vacancy. But when the angel of death comes, he is not going to give us a notice of vacancy. He's not going to come and tell us that, look, Sheikh Mansour, you've got 3 weeks to depart. Get ready, man. Get ready. I wish it was like this. Huh? All of the sudden, ناگهان بانگی برآمد خواجه رفت. They ask Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that Ya Ibn Rasulullah, we see some, and I've observed that myself as part of my career, I've been in the hospitals and I've been, you know, around the dying people. They say, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, often we see people that they are just dead and their eyes are still open, looking at the ceiling. How come? The Imam said that because the angel of death did not give them a respite, did not give them a chance to even blink an eye. Before the blink of an eye, they had to vacate. That's how quick it happens. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that there is a businessman in his fabric workshop. He is cutting the fabric and he cannot get a chance to finish the, you know, scissoring and cutting it, and he has to go. I'm sure you have heard, you have seen people driving, people that they like us, they went to bed. I don't want to scare anyone, but I want to bring your attention to something that is so definite and yet we are so oblivious about it. Far out. Really, it's amazing. So definite, yet we are so oblivious about it, as if it's not going to ever happen. So many people last night, like you and I, they went to bed. They never woke up. They died in their bed. Their bed became their grave. Brothers, sisters, no matter how old or young you are, really, it's not the issue of the age. And we all know that. I told you, you don't believe me? Just pay a visit to your cemetery and check the date of the birth and the date of the death of the deceased people to acknowledge this fact. It's not that you have to get old to die. It's an issue that concerns all of us. It is possible, very possible, no matter how healthy you think you are, that you go to bed tonight, you never see the sunrise tomorrow ever again. This is a reality. This is a reality that really should concern us. What am I told you that I have to correct myself. I said that the angel of death does not give us a notice of vacancy. May God forgive me. Yes, in a sense he doesn't, but in another sense he does. The merciful God constantly is giving us notice of vacancy. If again you share salawat with me, I share it with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that sleeping is the younger brother of death. Sleeping is the younger brother of death. Kama tanamun tamutun. As you sleep, you die. As you fall asleep, you die. And as you wake up, you will be resurrected on the day of judgment. It's because both our body and soul, they have three kinds of connections, so to speak. One is that body and soul have full connection. It's like now, that we are conscious, awake, and our body and soul are interwoven, connected together as one entity. The second is complete disconnection after our death. That the body, inshallah, we'll talk about it, will be taken to the cemetery and the soul will continue its journey. There's a third option, there's a third type of reconnection between body and soul as well. And this is a a poor connection that is like hibernate, if you're familiar with this term. Now, after I finish, I can, you put your computer on hibernate. It's like a winter sleeping of the bears. When we are asleep, there is a connection between body and soul, but poor connection, semi-connection. That's why we are not so conscious of what we may do as we are asleep. The Prophet says that every night that I put you to sleep in your bed, I'm just training you. It's just like a trial. I'm telling you, teaching you, reminding you of your death. Your bed is like the grave that you will be lying down in. And every morning that you get up, who wakes you up? What was the difference between you and those who didn't? God says, I woke you up healthy to give you another chance. It's just like your resurrection day. There is an ayah in Surah Al-Mu'minun towards the end of the surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting the plea and the request of some people who are just in that stage of dying. And they say, or they just died. As soon as they died and they saw all the realities of life after death, immediately, desperately say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتِ. Oh my Lord, please return me. Please reverse. Return me, I don't want to be here. I promise I'm going to do good things. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا. Perhaps I can do good things. Quran continues from them telling us that the answer is kalla, nay, never. Once I'm buried, end of the story. There is no more sorry to be accepted. But Quran says, you know why? Somebody may turn and say that, why God is so cruel? How can you give him another chance, man? Quran says that I gave you thousands of chances. Come on. Thousands of chances. Every night that you went to bed and you slept, it was like your death. Because I told you, your sleeping is the younger brother of your death. Take a heed. Be careful. And every morning that you wake up, it's just like you say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh God, as I'm dreaming in my sleep, my silent language is that, God, bring me back to this dunya. Quran says, God says, by all means, I bring you back. And there's no kalla for you, there's no never for you. It's yes, sure. You're given another chance. So tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, you're going to get up. Please remember that this is just like another chance. A miracle happens, inshallah, for all of us tomorrow morning. All of us tomorrow morning are going to be awake, to be given another opportunity to see how we deal with our Sunday, with our next day opportunity. And all these opportunities every day are coming one after the other. I have done again this excursion. You can do it for yourself and for your family members, and really tell them to write it down. Inshallah, throughout this course, I will share with you some more detailed experiences of this. And that is, tonight you think about it, inshallah. Go home, spend some time on your own, and say that, I talk for myself. Mansoor, what if tonight really God says that enough is enough? We have given him enough opportunity. Now he's not going to wake up. This man is not going to make any difference in his lifestyle. Or all of the sudden, your doctor, your GP is telling you that, I'm so sorry, your blood result showing that you've got, I don't know, a kind of fatal disease. That the medicine of our modern time, even in the United States of America, there is no treatment known for it. You've got only a couple of weeks, couple of months. Or people that you have seen, and I've seen more than you, that are in the hospital, going through this palliative care. Doctors, they don't know anything anymore. He's just waiting to die. What if this happens to you, to me? I really urge everybody in this gathering, every adult at least in this gathering, to exercise this for yourself. And later on you can share it with your friends. Tell them, please write down for me in 5 lines only. What would you do if you had only one more month to live in this dunya? What would you do, for God's sake? And I've done this for myself, and I've again given this exercise to my students. Give it as an assignment to your students, to your friends, to your children. Many of them, especially coming from an Islamic background, no matter how much they were indulged in this dunya, they say, I'm going to go for ziyarat. I'm going to dedicate myself for worshipping God. Go to Hajj. Go give charity. Their conscience wakes up all of a sudden. The question is that, does it have to be to get into that level until we wake up? Can't we wake up earlier than that? All these discussions that we have in this series of talks is, inshallah, to get ourselves more tuned with this certainty, with this reality of our life. My time, unfortunately, is already over. Inshallah, we'll continue it in the coming weeks. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, from that sort of bitter, perhaps, type of discussion, let me bring you to something happy, inshallah, and the happy occasion of Eid al-Ghadir. I mentioned in the beginning that, inshallah, tonight we want to renew a covenant, renew a contract that in our religion is called Aqd al-Ukhuwa, the contract or the covenant of fraternity, brotherhood between ourselves. There's a bit of actually difficulty in this, because once you hold the hand of whoever you like to hold their hand and make this contract at least for 1 year, as we make it a temporary contract for 1 year to make it easier, for one calendar you have some responsibilities towards one another. If you are willing to do that, have you done it already before this year or not? Alright, make it this way. Those who have not done this contract, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So really nobody had done it? Allah Akbar. Alright, yeah. In the last minute of the 3 days of celebration Eid al-Ghadir, let us make this contract, which is very recommended, and inshallah it brings more friendship among us, between yourselves. Just have a quick look around. If you want to pick up your mate to hold his hand, and sisters between yourselves, hold each other's hand, or you can make it a group covenant if you like. You are all, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters. Brothers, they can just hold each other's hand to make it all connected to each other. Make it a serial connection. Is it possible to do that? Yeah, alhamdulillah, I can see that you are. Look, unlike your marriage, this one you have to repeat it as well. Your marriage, I could be your agent to announce it on your behalf. But this one you got to announce it as well. So I say it word by word, and you please, you can repeat after me if you are okay with that. Are you ready? It's not difficult to hold each other's hands. Sisters can do the same between themselves. Nobelish? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واخيتك في الله وصافيتك في الله وصافحتك في الله وعاهدت الله وملائكته ورسله وأنبياءه والأئمة المعصومين على أني إن كنت من أهل الجنة والشفاعة وأذن لي بأن أدخل الجنة لا أدخلها إلا وأنت معي. A quick translation, it means that keep your hands, hold your hands, because you haven't finished yet, that I, in the name of God, I make a brotherhood between myself and you, and I promise Allah and the angels of God and the messengers of God and the prophets and the imams al-ma'sumin that if I was given an opportunity to be among people of paradise and among people who will have the power and the right of intercession and shafa'ah, and it was given permission to me to enter paradise, I will not enter it unless you come along with me. It was very nice, wasn't it? Now that you've said it, you all say qabiltu. Congratulations, mashallah. Not finished yet. Keep holding your hands. We haven't finished the business yet. Alhamdulillah, you said the qabilto, accepted. Now the rest of it. Asqattu. Please, we haven't finished yet. Asqattu. Anka. Jami'a. حقوق الأخوة ما خلا الشفاعة والدعاء والزيارة. That means that I've said all the rights of brotherhood that I may have upon you and you may have upon me, I forfeit all of them and I dismiss all of them except these three. I will not forfeit them. I will ask for them, and you have the right to ask me for. One is a shafa'a, intercession, that as we said it on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, if you have the right of shafa'a to intercede me and vice versa. The second, the right of dua. Please don't deprive me of your dua. Pray for me as I'm praying for you. And the third is that inshallah, if you get a chance, inshallah, very soon to pay a visit to Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam, if it was possible, please come and see me in Isfahan as well. This is what I meant, or between yourselves, to pay a visit to each other time to time. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Congratulations, inshallah. Live long together. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.